Good day to you. Welcome. Welcome in to Strategies for Living. We all need them, don't we? I'm Dr. David McMillan, and I'm delighted that you and I are sharing strategies for living today here on HealthyLive.net. You know, strategies, it's all about helping us live healthier, happier, more peaceful lives in our bodies, in our minds, in our spirits, in our relationships as we share this earth and time and space together. Strategies for Living is here to engage in conversations that make us think, that stretch our minds, that help us grow and move through this process called life, our limitless information experience. I am joined by my co-host, psychotherapist, Lauren Leon McMillan. And, man, you and I both, well, I'm not going to speak for you. I know better than that.
Watch yourself.
Yeah, I watch myself. I want to stay married, you know.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
Yeah,
I enjoy it.
Speaking for me, I've been looking forward to the conversation today.
Yeah.
With our life strategist because, well, really, it's not just a conversation. Our life strategist is John Thomas.
Right. Yeah. Well, technically.
Technically. But we're actually, how about if we could have a conversation with, Albert Einstein.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. St. Francis of Assisi. Mm-hmm. Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
President George H.W. Bush.
Okay.
Let's throw Nikola Tesla in there. Yeah. And just for good measure, how about Gandhi? Extra good measure.
Those sound like some awesome life strategists.
Well, plus Wayne Dyer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Now,
absolutely.
Lauren, you might say, how are we going to have a conversation with those people?
Mm-hmm.
Because there is a little problem, right?
Well, perhaps, if you consider being on the other side a problem.
Well, it's not a problem, but I mean, you know, I'm sure it would be a long-distance phone call.
Quite. Well, it depends on how you view time and space as well. But
very true.
I'm playing devil's advocate here.
You are, but, the other thing we could do besides trying to get the long-distance phone number is we could just talk to John Thomas. So
ooh.
How about if we do that?
All right, that sounds great.
So John is a classic Silicon Valley tech guy.
Mm-hmm.
And after he received his chemical engineering degree, he worked for many years in various technical fields, including software, semiconductors, and advanced battery technologies. Along the way, he was able to see the environmental impact of those technologies, and he developed a deep appreciation for those companies that were serious about creating sustainable practices and protecting the environment. Mm-hmm. Now, let's fast forward a bit.
Okay.
And John and his wife, Carolyn, and a young lady by the name of Sam Larkin, who has a master's degree and works in financial services, she's also highly clairvoyant.
Mm-hmm.
And she began to, this idea bubbled up, and it's now a book. It's called Channeled Messages of Hope, Conversations with History's Most Prominent Souls on the Other Side, on Global Warming and Climate Change.
Mm.
John Thomas, welcome to Strategies.
Welcome.
Pleasure to be here.
So, man, what an idea here. Was this your idea? Was this Carolyn's idea? Was this Sam's idea? How did this get going?
The short story is the idea comes from what we call the council, Ascended Masters on the Other Side.
Mm.
But how did it get going between Carolyn, myself, and Sam? And the short story on that is that Sam, as you mentioned, being clairvoyant and clairsentient, and she had been practicing animal communications informally for some number of years. She's a close friend of Carolyn.
Right.
So Sam was getting messages of the high vibration that were very clear were intended for Carolyn. Sam told Carolyn about this. So Carolyn ended up, through Sam, channeling where these messages were coming from on the other side. It's an entity we call Baba that we believe is a very ascended master that is part of this council,
right.
A very high-level situation. And so Carolyn was thinking, wow, this is great. I can connect to this Baba where she's had many past lifetimes. And Carolyn came up with the idea of, hey, Sam, maybe we could channel some loved ones or people close to you. Because when Sam does this channeling, she does what's called voice channeling, where the
right.
soul really takes over her body, and she doesn't have recollection of the experience until Carolyn tells her after.
Mm.
So Carolyn channeled some of Sam's souls, as we'll call them, And that worked well. And Carolyn had this idea, this inspiration. If we can channel these types of souls, we could channel any souls, maybe.
Wow.
And maybe I could put this book together because there's so many things going on in the world, our polarized country, wars in other lands, so many things going that if I could talk to the souls about this, maybe I could put a Messages of Hope book together.
What an idea. And that's what we're going to talk. We're going to talk about the messages that came through today with John Thomas here on Strategies for Living. The book is channeled, Messages of Hope. Buckle your seatbelt. We've got a lot to cover today. We've got a lot to learn here on Strategies. And welcome back. Welcome back into Strategies for Living here on HealthyLife.net. David McMillan here, along with psychotherapist Lauren Leon McMillan. And our life strategist today is the co-author of Channeled Messages of Hope, Conversations with History's Most Prominent Souls on the Other Side, on Global Warming and on Climate Change. Now, you can find the book wherever you buy books. Of course, Amazon.com. is one place that you can certainly find the book. You can also go to channeledmessagesofhope.com and find out more about this project. Wow. I mean, John, you've got political leaders. You got people like President George H.W. Bush. You've got John McCain. You've got Richard Nixon. You've got Ronald Reagan. You've got technologists. You've got people like Albert Einstein. You've got people like Nikola Tesla. You've got conservationists and preservationists like Jacques Cousteau. Mm-hmm. You've got the spiritual leaders like Gandhi and St. Francis of Assisi and Wayne Dyer. And I'm just scratching the surface here. How exciting this must have been for you.
Well, it's just fascinating. Communicating with these souls. And Carolyn, you know, in her communication with that special soul on the other side, the one we call Baba, mm-hmm. he made it clear to her that this idea for this Messages of Hope was the council's idea. Mm-hmm. And this soul specifically felt that Mother Earth was struggling and that the council wanted this first book to find messages of hope around the environment. So Carolyn looked at that topic material, what the council wanted, and she created a list of these various policymakers, conservationists. And in doing the channeling sessions, the interviews, souls would lead us to other souls. So we didn't know the full list when we started.
Yeah.
We had, you know, souls added to our list. Like, for example, Nikola Tesla told us that he would like us to talk with Samuel Clemens, a.k.a. Mark Twain, which,
right.
of course, we really were scratching our head on that when that came out of nowhere until we did the research and found out that there's actually a very strong connection there. And Samuel Clemens was instrumental at the time with Tesla. So the list evolved, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. All right. So I think probably a lot of listeners probably understand the severity, the importance of these conversations when it comes to global warming and climate change. But I know that you and probably specifically Carolyn are research folks. You do a lot of research. So could you just summarize for us the you know, what you learned researching global warming and climate change and where we are right now, John?
Well, you know, we are not climate scientists here
right.
at all.
Right.
I'm a tech guy, you know, involved with sustainability but not climate. But when we had to do deep research, Carolyn did, to prepare for the book, and what we found is that if you look at you know, greenhouse gases in the air that trap heat, you look at the role of oceans, you look at the role of plant life on land, such as the Amazon rainforest, and what we find is that our Earth is way out of balance. Mm-hmm. It's very far out of balance because of the fact that the Earth, which naturally goes from ice house to greenhouse, it does cycles, but these are 100,000-year cycles.
Right.
And what's happened in the industrial age is we have so upset the balance of Earth and its ability to trap heat and release it at night and capture CO2 to keep the proper level of CO2 in the atmosphere, done primarily through photosynthesis. The Earth is way out of balance, and it's been put in an out of balance position over an extremely short period of time. Mm-hmm. And when something goes out of balance that quickly, it cannot recover that fast. And that's what we're seeing on the Earth right now. So if people say, oh, it's just the weather, no, it is not just the weather. Mm-hmm. Man has dramatically accelerated all of these events, which eclipse the Earth's ability to deal with all of it and maintain the healthy environment that we're used to.
Right.
And as we started talking to conservationists and preservationists about the specifics, including things like what's happening in the ocean because there's too much CO2 in the atmosphere, it's creating a higher acid content in the ocean, which is bleaching out coral, which you need for that balance, which is, you know, damaging seaweed, which we need for that photosynthesis. It's all connected.
Yeah, the entire system. I mean, and these are things, what you're talking about here are things that they're measurable.
Mm-hmm.
You can look it up.
Right.
You can check it out. Of course, you know, in a previous conversation, John, that we had, you kind of alluded to, well, there's always going to be deniers out there. What did any of the souls address, make any kind of pitch, if you will, to the climate deniers?
Well, there's climate deniers, and there's people that might even be very skeptical of channeled information.
Yeah,
right.
Okay.
And the souls across the board said, you are not here to convince them.
Mm.
You are here to find the right messages for the people that are spiritually open, that really care about our environment and need to hear what the truth is. That mm-hmm. is your audience for this book. So for the deniers, what I would tell them is, you know, Dr. Charles Keeling in his interview was very specific when he talked about, we can trace the CO2 levels in the atmosphere through bubbles that are trapped in the ice cap, and we can track that 100,000-year cycle. And what's happened in the industrial age, this incredible uptick over a very short period of time, is measurable.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Keeling was the first guy that really linked, there was another scientist before him, but put together the level of CO2 in the atmosphere. And you need CO2 in the atmosphere to a level imbalance, but
right.
we have pushed it so high with other greenhouse gases that trap heat that we've thrown balance out the window.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And our Earth is not able to recover in this kind of time frame. So what I would tell the deniers is there is a weather cycle. I will not contest that.
Mm-hmm.
But man has come in and put their thumb on the scale of that weather cycle in a dramatic way to the level that the Earth just can't compensate right now.
Yeah.
And that's what we're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
Among the souls that you talked with, that you interviewed, from Einstein to Wayne Dyer, from Mark Twain to Richard Nixon, from Gandhi to Francis of Assisi, and all the other ones in between, did any one of them seem to be more dramatic in their predictions? I mean, did any of them stand out for you like that, John?
Well, I will say that the scientist who got very technical with what was going on, you could construe that as dramatic. For example, if we don't hit the Paris goal of no more than 1.5 degrees C global warming by 2050, you know, what's the implication of that?
Right.
So they would go into things like that. But when you start talking to the spiritual leaders, they had a different take on this. Their take is that Mother Earth is struggling, and Mother Earth is not feeling loved and respected by what man is doing. And so their take on it was, you know, we have to acknowledge and recognize that we are all one.
Mm-hmm.
Mother Earth, our environment, the animals, all of the plant life, the living things, man, we're all connected. And we all have to revere and respect each other. And Mother Earth is not feeling respected. Mm-hmm. St. Francis was clear that, you know, man is not treating each other very well, and hence they're not treating the earth and the environment very well. Mm-hmm. And Mother Earth is not happy with that.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so we're starting to see it in the consequences of what's going on environmentally.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Francis's story is interesting because, you know, he came, and of course he was, he started a famous order, the Franciscans, and the in the Catholic Church, and if I'm remembering the story right, when he kind of got his call, he thought he was supposed to build a church, and that's what he started out doing. But then, you know, it's like the bigger picture emerged, and no, you're supposed to reform the big thing. And so I share that to say, you know, it's interesting that you know, he was not that some of the other people like Wayne Dyer might consider sainted, but in terms of all of the souls, St. Francis has the title saint.
That is true. And, you know, St. Francis, that conversation really put it together for me.
Mm.
And in fact, a couple comments that he made that I think might be very relevant here. Is that the key here, this is him. The key here is for people to know the earth is a partner. We must respect our partners. Earth is part of us, not separate from us.
Yes.
We do not have the luxury to stand on the side and expect earth will keep delivering. Why would she do that?
Right.
Why? Who would do that? I, as John Thomas, would not do this.
Yeah.
It was kind of my response. And the final thing I'll say on that is, St. Francis said that we must reshape and reframe how we see our relationship with Earth.
Mm.
Earth is our brother, our sister, our mother, our father. We live as a family with Earth. How do we treat family members?
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. And if family members are our friends or associates don't treat us well,
right?
You know, what are we going to naturally do? We're going to naturally distance ourselves.
Put up boundaries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Right, exactly.
What did it feel like to you, John, to be a witness to all of this? My goodness, what did that feel like to you?
Well, you know, Carolyn put all this together. She would do all the research on the souls we were going to talk to, so that we had a framework and a structure for the interview. And I jumped in after she'd already done a couple. And when it started to be some of the more technical souls we were talking to, but
right.
For me, I felt, you know, it's hard to fathom. I'm conversing interactively with Nikola Tesla, and
right.
You know, the revered scientist, you know. But for me, it was like really calming because these souls, they were very forthright, very open with their information. They would answer the questions. They expressed that they really were happy to be part of this project, and that some of them were seeing other interviews that were going on, witnessing these things. So for me, it was just fascinating. And the information that was coming through, so specific and so direct and so enlightening, was just, you know, for me, it was an incredible experience, I have to say.
Did you ask how they got the word? Each one of them got the word? You're going to be called on to answer some questions here.
We did, and we got various answers. I think, I may have not get this exactly right, but I think Rachel Carson said that an owl came to tell her. Other souls said they were. McCain said he was, quote, brought into a meeting, unquote. Other ones were just notified telepathically, you need to show up here. So it was a little bit, you know, it was not one thing.
No, it was based on each soul's communication style,
right.
And what they expected.
Yeah, but the bottom line is they all seemed to know that, okay, we're going to be a part of something very special and sharing something very special. Again, I think that underscores the importance of what Baba said and what you came to understand as, you know, the council really being the directors of this, if you will. This is incredible stuff, folks. You got to get this book, Channeled Messages of Hope, Conversations with History's Most Prominent Souls on the Other Side on Global Warming and Climate Change. John Thomas and Carolyn Thomas are the authors. You can find it wherever you buy books, and I hope you will. We've got more conversation today with John Thomas, our life strategist here on Strategies for Living. We'll be right back. And welcome back. Welcome back into Strategies for Living here on HealthyLife.net. And Lauren Leon McMillan, David McMillan, we are with one of the authors of a fantastic new book. It's called Channeled Messages of Hope. It's conversations with history's most prominent souls on the other side on global warming and climate change. And man, this book is gonna change, I think, the way that you look at this subject, and it's gonna give you a lot of information, perhaps that you don't have. Talking to people like John McCain, President George H.W. Bush, President Richard Nixon, Albert Einstein, Rachel Carson, Wayne Dyer, even Mark Twain. You know, John, some people would be surprised. Richard Nixon? What the heck? And you know, I had to chuckle as I read. I mean, I could just hear, you know, President Nixon. I'm old enough to have, I was in when he was elected in 1968, I was in the seventh grade. So I, you know, when I going through high school, Nixon was the president. So I could just hear him saying, "Yeah, are you sure? Are you sure you want to talk to me?"
Well, yeah, I mean, how that came about is that in the research, you know, we saw that Nixon, despite, and let me just say, we're not Nixon apologists here, let me just lead with that, but in the research around climate change, we found that Nixon was well ahead of the game.
Yeah.
On many environmental situations in his State of the Union in 1970.
A lot of people don't realize that. If they go back and look at that 1970 State of the Union, a lot of it was devoted to the environment and to climate change.
It really was remarkable. I did not know that either. Carolyn, in her research, found that, so we naturally wanted to talk to Nixon, but we were also informed by Baba and also one of the souls, I believe it was Gaylord Nelson, that Nixon was in a deep isolation state, reviewing his life on the other side and the arrogance and the abuse of power and all these things that he, you know, had to face that was part of his life experience. He was in review process on that in deep isolation. We didn't know if he would show up, honestly.
Yeah.
But he didn't show up, but he came in tentatively. And was, I think, just mystified, why would anyone want to talk to me? And Carolyn was very apprehensive about that interview. She was a little intimidated, but she explained, you know, to President Nixon that it was about, you know, his actions on the environment.
Yeah.
That was the thing that drew us to him.
Right.
And so with that premise, we went on with the discussion.
Hmm. You know, and each one of the souls, it's like, you know, I was joking with Nixon, but each one of the souls, you know, they're, from the ones that I knew, like Nixon, like President Bush, George H.W. Bush, like Ronald Reagan, like Wayne Dyer, their personalities came through. It was very unique for me because Wayne Dyer was a life strategist. Before he passed, he came on this show a couple of times, and I know the last time I spoke with him, he seemed very happy. He was in Maui, as a matter of fact. The last time that I had the privilege of speaking to Dr. Dyer and him being a life strategist, just like you are here on Strategies. So I would think he's proud of you today here, John.
Well, I would hope so, and I hope that we're representing the council's project well. That's really our, you know, that's our mission here. But I will say that we have gotten other comments, just like what you said, that within the words you can feel the soul.
Yeah.
And I might add that on our website we have 9 different excerpts from the actual audio interview. And what really blew us away was the very first interview, you know, for the book was John Muir. And Sam doing the voice channeling, when John Muir came in and all of a sudden her voice took on this Scottish accent. And it's like, what? Where did that come from? And then with Tesla, it had a very, you know, pronounced accent as a Serbian guy. And so you can hear these different things. It's not just the accent, the voice inflections, the way they talk, et cetera. It is really remarkable. And so we have had other people comment. And they got it from the written word. I think when you hear a few of the audios, it can be quite fascinating as well.
Did you have unfair question. Did you have a favorite?
Well, I can say that for Carolyn, I'll speak for Carolyn, John McCain really stood out for her. She has such high respect for John McCain. And we talked with him about what he went through as a POW, when he got to the other side, and did he reengage with his captors? Did he forgive the captors? And he said he did, and that without forgiveness, you can't move forward on the other side. But he overcame tremendous hardship, which he described to us some deep detail that was not known. He still came back and served, he served America as a U.S. senator for all those years. So he will be part of future books. I personally enjoyed, I will say, all of them, but the scientists had such deep information. I found it very fascinating. And then you go to, one of my heroes, Wayne Dyer, and the way he approaches the situation, and St. Francis, his patron saint of animals, and we're animal lovers here. And so there was something for everybody, I think, in all these interviews.
It's interesting. St. Francis said, and I think I'm remembering this correctly, that animals were much more in tune with the earth than human beings are.
Well, his guidance was, look at the way the animals, they're in the moment, they take what they need, they don't over abuse the environment, and they're generally, they have a food chain, but they're generally different animal species can coexist in the same space quite amicably.
Yeah.
So,
and if they can do that, we can certainly learn to do that. Channeled Messages of Hope. That's the name of the book. Conversations with History's Most Prominent Souls on the Other Side on Global Warming and Climate Change. John Thomas and Carolyn Thomas are the authors, along with Sam Larkin. John is with us today here on Strategies, and we've got more to come. We'll be right back. Stay with us. And welcome back. Welcome back into Strategies for Living here on HealthyLife.net. Psychotherapist Lauren Leon McMillan, David McMillan, and we're with one of the co-authors of a book you've got to get a hold of, Channeled Messages of Hope. It's conversations with history's most prominent souls on the other side of global warming and climate change. And he's John Thomas, and you can find the book, of course, at Amazon or wherever you like to buy books. You can also go to channelmessagesofhope.com and actually hear some of the work, John and Carolyn asking the questions and the souls coming through, Sam Larkin. Actually, this is important, I think, John, to mention, because Sam is a, she's a financial services person. She has a master's degree. I mean, she doesn't make her living doing channeling or anything, right?
That is correct. She just discovered that she had this clairvoyant, clairprescient skill that she applied to animals, and she would do this informally for friends. Over time, when Sam first received messages she knew were from the other side for Carolyn, and then Carolyn came up with the idea that if you can do that communication with animals, could you do it with souls that had human lives? And that's how it all started. And it works quite well. But no, she's got an 8-to-5 job, her professional job, and she does not make a living doing this. I think she could, but she doesn't choose to.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, obviously, there's she's very good at bringing through. She's, I guess you would say, a clear channel. No pun intended.
Very. Yeah, I would have to agree. It was really remarkable. And it's really that all of these souls could be brought in, clearly facilitated by the council because this is their their project. So all these souls came in, and the souls did mention that, you know, there was kind of a higher calling on the other side to be part of this.
Did you ask most of the souls what it was like to transition from living into the other, living on Earth in their respective time and spaces, and transitioning to where they are now?
We asked many of them. We didn't always get an answer, but the kind of answers we got were things like Wayne Dyer. When he transitioned and all of a sudden he felt like he was still in Hawaii, it didn't seem any different to him because that was his vision of heaven.
Right. Yeah.
But at the same time, when he arrived there, there were thousands of souls that he didn't recognize at all. And he came to find out that these were many people that he had influenced through his work, people he didn't
even
know.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Fans on the other side.
Yeah.
Fans on the other side. And another notable is Rachel Carson, who did a lot of work on identifying pesticides and the problems they cause. She was greeted by a million monarch butterflies when she came over. And George H.W. Bush was greeted by his daughter Robin, who was lost to leukemia as an infant.
Yeah.
And many of them mentioned the pets. The pets were there,
right?
To greet them. So that, I found that very interesting. St. Francis so really put it together. He said, there is no fear. There should be no fear to go into the transition process.
Right.
And it's all love when you get to the other side.
Yeah. Well, I'm curious. Mark Twain, I mean, what did he have to – what did he share? In terms of, because you were referred to Mark Twain, you mentioned that earlier here in the interview.
Tesla, yeah.
And who, as you researched, you found out that they were there was a relationship there. What did Mark Twain have to really share with us about this?
Well, first of all, Samuel Clemens and Nikola Tesla were very close because Clemens was a very active investor in technologies at the time. He made his money writing books,
right,
as Mark Twain,
right.
But he would then, and he created a relationship with Tesla. They spent a lot of time in the lab together.
Wow.
And Clemens would invest with Tesla in various inventions that, you know, because Tesla had to give investors to move his situation forward.
Right.
But what Samuel Clemens said, he said, look, I see this world becoming a much better place environmentally over the next 20 years. I do see improvements because the previous generations of inventors, there's a lot of work going on. And, he also, I will tell you, off climate, you know, he had discussions about, you know, mass shootings that are going on in the USA. And he actually, as one of his missions on the other side, is he greets people that transition over as a result of gun violence.
Wow.
You know, that's his kind of stated mission.
Yeah.
And so he spends a lot of time as guides for families that go through this as well.
Wow.
So,
You know, I can only imagine what it felt like to be privy to, as the information came through. You know, I would think it was some of it might have been hard to, okay, well, what do I pare down to get into a book? You know.
Yeah.
Well, it was, and but by and large, you know, our commitment to the souls is we're going to put your words in as close to verbatim as possible, sometimes edited for a bit of clarity, but the work is their words.
Yeah.
So sometimes, you know, some interviews were longer than others. Jacques Cousteau had so much to say about what's going on in the oceans.
I bet
we actually did two interviews with him, because really the channeler Sam could only really hold a soul for about an hour. And the souls also told us that it takes great energy on their side to do that
right.
type of channeling.
Right.
So
right.
we couldn't just go forever.
Yeah, right. because the channeler would have to raise their frequency. The souls would have to lower their frequency. That makes sense. The book is Channeled Messages of Hope. And there is a lot of hope here. Channeled Messages of Hope. John Thomas is co-author along with Carolyn Thomas, channelmessagesofhope.com. You can find it wherever you buy books. And we've got more with John Thomas here on Strategies. Stay here. How exciting is this? Welcome back. Welcome back into HealthyLife.net and Strategies for Living. Lauren Leon McMillan, David McMillan, along with the co-author of Channeled Messages of Hope. He's John Thomas. He and Carolyn Thomas have this brand new book out. You got to get it. Channeled Messages of Hope. And it's conversations with history's most prominent souls on the other side on global warming and climate change. And the book is now available, of course, on Amazon. And you can go to channeledmessagesofhope.com, get more information.
John, I just have to ask, you know, after meeting all of these souls, I keep wondering, have you had any visits after? Have you had any visits from them since doing the interview?
Well, you know, we always wonder about these visits, but some of them were just so clear that it had to be. I mean, we drove up. We have another house we spend time at on the coast, and
yeah.
that house is empty. We drove up to that house, and we were right in the middle of this, and half the lights were on in the house. We don't have any automatic timers, nothing. And these were not lights that made sense to be on. We were completely stumped about that. And I was driving in San Francisco a couple weeks ago, and all of a sudden, a very large, almost condor-looking bird was a street in San Francisco was flying right at my car at about 6 feet off the ground, just a complete city block, and did not veer until right at getting to my car. And so we can argue, was this a visit or not? That
right.
it was so out of the ordinary. And we get other things that happen. We've gotten some electronic things that happen around the house here. So.
Hmm.
Yeah, well, we're kind of familiar. We're
yes,
kind of familiar
we
with that. Lauren does yes. her a bit of channeling, and maybe it was about this interview. I don't know. The other night we were sitting.
It was last night.
It was last night, and so we had just finished talking to you earlier in the evening, and we're sitting in the chair, relaxing. The dog's in our lap, and as clear as could be, there was a knock.
Well, three knocks.
Three
just
knocks.
Like
yeah.
That.
Just boom, boom, boom.
Oh,
and, you know, both Lauren and I heard it. We looked at each other. The dog didn't hear it. I mean, the dog just stayed in my lap.
Yeah.
So we knew. And, of course, I heard it clearly. You may be able to hear in the background right now when I did that knock.
Yeah.
The dog's barking
He's
in the background.
Now.
He's stirred now. But last Ooh. Night he just was, you know, so... But I was so convinced, you know, I went to both doors to check out. So, I don't know, John.
Well, we have a little bit of an advantage here because a couple of these things in soul interviews we asked, especially with Baba, was that you?
Yeah.
And he said, yeah, that was me.
Okay.
That was
yeah.
me. When something would just turn on just randomly out of the blue,
right.
it makes you just stop. So.
Yeah.
I know what you went through. It is something.
When you get asked, and I know you've been asked, probably Carolyn's been asked, maybe even Sam, when you guys get asked, how do you know this channeling is real? How do you know this is the real deal? How do you answer that?
I have two answers for that. My first answer is, we're not here to convince. We're not selling this at all. If you're open, you'll know. But what I will say is, when you look at the information that came through, so many random things we never would have thought of, that, you know, Tesla saying, I want you to talk to Samuel Clemens.
Yeah,
where did that come from? We were really, there was a variety of those things that happened. And the kind of information that came through. I mean, having souls tell us about what they're doing actually in a body now. There were several occurrences where they're in a body on Earth now in their next life, even though we're talking to their higher self. And it's just, all I can say is that there's no way that this information, you couldn't fabricate this, dream it up, and things that came
you can't make this
verifiable.
Stuff up.
yeah, you can't.
Speaking
of so many things verifiable that we had no idea about until we went back and checked up on that.
Yeah.
Speaking
of Tesla, did you happen to ask about his papers?
That's an open item. What happened to Tesla's papers?
Yeah.
He left many trunks of papers behind when he died, and so they came in. It's been a mystery. And what he told us is, one of his main inventions was the ability to transmit electric power wirelessly.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Which would be obviously a game changer for the electric
warming.
Power
yeah.
industry, but you could create weapons of mass destruction with this as well. So he said the U.S. government and the Serbian government kind of conscripted those papers, and they are in a deep vault not to be accessed by anybody. They're in the hands of the governments who – we're very worried about the safety and the weapons aspect of this. So,
are there going to be more of these channeled messages? And I love that it's channeled messages of hope.
Right.
Are there going to be more? This one's on the global warming and the environment. Are we going to have more channeled messages of hope, John?
Carolyn is planning, and the council wants her to do another one. And what Carolyn... certain people that have been very prominent lately, like Alexei Navalny and others, people that have overcome great hardships or taken on great challenges in an effort to change things for the good of the masses, are the book will probably have something, a theme like that. It's already in planning right now.
What do you want people to really take away once they've read Channel Messages of Hope? What's your highest hope of what people take away from the read?
Well, the audience that we see are people that are spiritually open. They're concerned about the environment. Maybe they feel like there's nothing I can do, and I see it just going down a bad direction. These people need to know that there are things happening, that there is hope, for us to get through this.
Yeah.
And to give them things they individually can do. Everything from, I will call it tactical, just pick up after yourself, write your politicians, do some of these things, to the spiritual side of acknowledging that we're all one, and thinking of Mother Earth as you would think of a family member who has given you great gifts, and be thankful and aware of that.
Absolutely.
These are the people that will be open to these types of messages. That's the people that we want to make this book available for.
Channeled Messages of Hope at your favorite bookseller, John Thomas, Carolyn Thomas. We'll be back here on Strategies. Well, John Thomas, all I've got to say is wow. Thank you for bringing all of this to us, and thank you for being a great life strategist here on Strategies for Living.
Well, I appreciate being on here, and let me just leave you with a Samuel Clemens quote. I truly know and believe the world is going to be a better, happier place in about 20 years, but it doesn't mean y'all need to get lazy.
I love it. Thank you, John Thomas. Lauren Leon McMillan, thank you. Folks, thank you for tuning into Strategies for Living. If today were the last day of your life, you only had one more phone call to make, who is it that you'd call? And what is it that you'd say? And why are you waiting? Make the call. For Lauren Leon McMillan, for John Thomas, I'm David McMillan. See you next time, right here on Strategies for Living.